Okay, so a quick recap here. We are in week four of what's normally a 12-week class, but this is going to be an 11-week class since we didn't have it the 1 week of the men's retreat. So we're in week four of the course on how people change. And the overarching idea of the course is, what does growth in Christ and the sanctification process look like? This progressive sanctification is a phrase we'll use often because it is progressive. Change happens. It is assured to happen, right? Philippians 1:6, God will bring it to completion, that which he began in us, but it is very, very slow. In God's kindness, we see that all throughout the pages of Scripture, growth in Christ is slow. We'll often talk about the illustration of a yo-yo on an elevator, right? Yo-yo is the day-to-day life that we live, but in God's kindness, we're on an escalator. More and more every day, he is growing us in Christ. And so we need help both to see the things that trip us up in this life, but also we need help to see the evidences of growth and grace that are happening in us, right? We need help for people to notice, hey, you know, I noticed that, if someone hasn't been to our house in a year, hey, that tree is a lot bigger than it was a year ago. For us who are living in the house, we probably don't see that kind of a gradual growth of that tree. But for those who come back and it's been a while, they have a different set of eyes, different perspective. They can say, no, there's been real growth there. So we all need help with this. And so last week, we talked about the resources we have in Christ. We talked about one of the metaphors of Scripture, not the only one, of being married to Christ and the resources that we now have because we are in union with Christ. This week, we're going to look at, okay, what's another one of the resources that God gives us that is made available to us? And that is the very people that he has put into our lives within the local church, the body of Christ, the community of Christ. So why, of all the tools and resources he could use, he chose to use us, these jars of clay? I mean, could God have just, in his grand plan, just sent every single one of us angelic messengers to help us along our journey, to speak certain things into our lives and to share certain truths and to bring certain comfort? He certainly could have, but he didn't. He chose to use us in each other's lives. One of the ways that I grow in Christ, that you grow in Christ, is the people around you in this room. And so, Lord, help us to be used and also to allow others to be used in our lives, to help us grow more and more into Christ. So very quickly, I'd love to hear from some of you. When you think about some of the people in your life that have had the most impact on your walk with Christ, what names come to mind? It could be, you know, it could be a pastor, it could be a friend, it could be a family member. But I'd love to hear from you guys, you know, maybe one, two, or three names that come to mind for people that have most helped you in your walks with Christ. Praise God, yeah. You think, what names come to mind, or what name comes to mind?
I think for me, one name that comes to mind is Cody Volkers.
Cody Volkers.
Cody Volkers, sorry.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Just a brother with a really unique depth of insight and scriptural knowledge. So I'm always really blessed by the conversation.
Amen. Yeah, he's blessed many. Praise God. Yeah, Cody. Anyone else? Name that comes to mind that's been most helpful?
I would say my wife and both my parents.
Awesome. Wife and parents. Praise God.
Yeah.
Right there, just in your family, now family, with your wife there. Praise God. Maybe one more. Friend Nathan. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, it's. I'm sure if we even polled the whole church, there would be a mix of those who have been helped by people who are not in quote unquote vocational ministry, right? Just friends, family. Certainly, many of us that, you know, would also say, yeah, there's certain people in vocational ministry, but for the most part, I think those who are in Christ, that all of us can say there are people, you know, whether it's vocational or not, who have really helped us to grow and to change. We need other people. We need other people. And so change really is a community project. And so when we consider our own lives, right, we and the need for community, the need for opening ourselves up and inviting people in, and we'll look at some of the obstacles to that here during our small group time, but when we think about changing, we want to be able to recognize our own impulses when it comes to relationships in the body of Christ. Are we more bent towards like, man, I am too messed up to invite people in? If I can kind of clean up some areas of my life, then I'd be more comfortable inviting people in, because then when I invite them in, what they'll see isn't all that bad, right? Let me clean up the house before that person comes over, if you will, speaking of more internally as a metaphor for our souls. But the reality is that for all of us, we actually need people to help us with that mess, to help us with that struggle. And so one of the things that we might find is if we find ourselves stuck in a certain pattern of thinking or a pattern of behavior, oftentimes the Lord will not let us be freed from that in his kindness and in his mercy until we invite people in. Because he wants that to be the pattern of our lives, where something might be so uncomfortable and so painful that we feel like, Lord, I can't keep ignoring this. I got to do something with it. And one of those things, not the only thing that God wants us to do, is to say, come on in. You need to invite a trusted brother or sister in Christ into your life. And so one of the reasons why change is a community project is because God himself lives in community. So we're going to look at a few passages this morning to consider this idea of community and what God has for us as believers in Christ when it comes to growing in Christ's likeness. So let's first look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. We're going to look at God himself living in community. And there's going to be one particular word that you're going to see used quite a bit in just these three verses. So we're going to look at that. We're going to pull out what that is and why that is important for us. So someone read out loud for us Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. And as the person reads this out loud, what word do you hear repeated several times in just these three verses? Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. Go ahead and read that out loud for us.
There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
All right, what word did you hear repeated in those three verses? What is that? One. Yeah, seven times. Unless my counting is terrible, which could happen. Seven times. Right? Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. Unity in the body of Christ. One, 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 one. The unity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is meant to lead to unity in his family. That we are one body. That is a reality that is true of every believer in Christ. Whether we realize it or not, we are part of one body, one family. The metaphor used most often to talk about the New Testament church is family. That's the dominant theme, the dominant metaphor. We are one family. We are one body in Christ. So there is a unity that we are designed to be a part of, right? Diversity in the midst of unity. That's the idea of the whole kind of university word, right? Unity in the midst of diversity. So we are different people, and yet we are to be unified. And so we recognize that, okay, if God has eternally existed and will always eternally exist as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in community in some mysterious way for God. It's not mysterious for us what that means and what that looks like. We are designed to live in community. We will, in the new heavens and new earth, be in a perfect community, in relationship with each other as well as the Lord. And so God himself is a community. Therefore, our lives are designed to, the church is designed to reflect that unity in community. Second thing, let's look at now this idea of belonging to God's family. And what God went to, the length that he went to, so that we can be unified in Christ, no matter what our background is. Someone read, let's just flip over a couple chapters to Ephesians 2. Someone read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 22, and what the Lord did to help us be a part of a unified body of Christ, to be a part of his family. Ephesians 2, 14 to 22.
For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
So much in here. And obviously, we'd spend our entire time on this passage, but we'll just point out a few things. So, right, we are, even in that last verse, we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. God seeks to dwell, right? He dwells in his people individually and also corporately. There's a unique way in which the presence of God, the work of the Lord is most clearly seen and done in the body, the collective body of Christ. And look at the lengths that he went to, breaking down the dividing wall of hostility. This wasn't just a wall. This was a wall that said, I hate who's on the other side of it. These are Jews and Gentiles who literally would seek to kill each other if they were allowed to have at it. Right? This is, I mean, you look at the conflict happening in the Middle East right now. These differing people groups that literally hate each other, want to kill each other. That's the kind of hostility that the context is being spoken about here in Ephesians 2. It was a dividing wall where it said on the other side, I hate you. I don't just want privacy. And in Christ, God is saying, I sent my son to smash down that wall so that Jew and Gentile together can say, you are my brother, you are my sister. And now God's saying, I want to build you guys up to be one so that my Spirit can dwell in you and be a display of God's glory to the watching world. We all, if it's one of the joys for me is getting to do interviews of members who are coming into the church, because every single story is so unique and so different, the background that people have. Even if people look the same externally, their backgrounds are so different, let alone if they look differently externally. There's so many details of every person's story. And yet God's saying, okay, this is now, as you're coming to be a part of the Delray Baptist family, in God's sovereign providence, right? Is God sovereign over the location of the stars in the sky? Absolutely. Is he sovereign over the direction of the winds around the world? Yes. Is he sovereign and providential over the relationships he has in our lives? Yes. That includes those that he's brought into the body of Christ. In this season of life, if you want to grow in Christ, if I want to grow in Christ, look around the church. That's one of the resources God has given us. And we look at that, and listen, I look at that, and I go, but Lord, that's a very messy and inefficient way for us to grow into Christ. Relationships are so hard. They're so hard. To understand somebody, to feel understood, to be willing to hand over the fine china of your life to somebody and say, don't destroy this, don't drop this on the ground. And there are, I'm sure many of us, maybe all of us, can speak of times in which people did drop that fine china on the ground. And yet to continue to persevere in the faith and say, but I know that this is the right direction I need to be moving towards people and inviting people in. And so if that is true, that God has broken down through Christ this dividing wall of hostility, it's available. It's there. Now again, Satan reads the same Bible that we read. He knows that. He knows that one of the ways that we grow in Christ is through relationships. It's interesting to me that in Ephesians chapter 6, the most extended treatment of spiritual warfare in the New Testament, it comes on the heels of talking about relationships, many of those within the body of Christ. One of the main ways that spiritual warfare happens is in our relationships, right? Relationships are hard because there's a spiritual warfare element to our relationships. Satan does not want us to be close in the body of Christ. He doesn't want us to be known. He knows that sin can grow in darkness. He's aware of that. He knows that our wrestlings with who God truly is can become malformed and polluted more easily if we're isolated by ourselves with the deepest wrestles that we have with God, not known to anybody else. Satan knows that. There is a spiritual warfare element to our relationships, right? Why is prayer so hard? Another reason why, not the only reason, one of it is that spiritual warfare. Satan does not want you to pick that up. He doesn't want you to pray, and he doesn't want you to have close relationships in the body of Christ. Relationships are hard. They're messy. They're inefficient. And yet, this is one of the main things God gives us. Like I said, he could have just sent angelic messengers to do all this for us, to be a comforter, to be a truth giver. But no, I need you. You need me. We need each other to do that, to come alongside, to comfort, to bring a truth, a timely word in season, to put an arm around and just say, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? Those two questions right there, if that just happened more and more regularly in the body of Christ, oh, the work that can be done there. And so I know that, again, depending on who we are and our backgrounds and even our personalities, for some, the relationships can be more challenging than others. Some of us are better at breadth of relationship, where we can connect to a lot of people, but we struggle with depth. Some of us are great at going deep with just one or two, but we neglect getting to just connect with others in the body of Christ to more collectively be blessed by and learn from each other in our struggles. Some of us struggle with both. Wherever we are, though, we want our posture to be pointed towards what can growth in that area look like, because I cannot grow into Christ without relationships, in the body of Christ in particular. And so we are a part of God's family now. And so, yes, it's messy. Yes, it's inefficient. And yet here is what God gives us. And it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. So guess what? There can be real fruit from relationships. Imperfect? Yes. The wish dream of relationships where we're going to be immediately connect and immediately be known and immediately be understood. No, it takes years. We'll often tell anyone in fellowship groups or any type of small group gathering to say, listen, give it a year. Just try to stay together for a year. And then usually after a year, some depth really starts to happen. Whether good or bad, that just seems to happen. There's a longevity and a perseverance in relationships that are good and right. All right, so let's look at... is this our last? Yeah, we'll do one more passage here. Two more passages. Oh, I don't want to miss this one. All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. So just one chapter over here. Someone read out loud for us Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. This idea of being loved as a family, and one of the ways in which we really understand God's love in particular through the body of Christ. So someone read Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I know I've already said that twice this morning, but this really is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. So I'm going to read that out loud for us.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Ah, this is just such a, this passage has been very meaningful in my life. So I'll do my best not to go off on a mini sermon and just point out a few things from it. But again, we've looked at how God is community. Therefore, we are to live in community as one in unity. We've looked at being a part of God's family and how he has, through Christ, broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Here now, we are loved as God's family. And look at that word there in verse 18, right? We need strength to comprehend what? What do we need supernatural strength to comprehend? The love of Christ, the love that God has for us. I am not the prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I can almost guarantee that everyone in this room and in our church this morning woke up this morning not quite knowing how much God loves them. I can almost guarantee that's true. That you do not this morning immediately wake up knowing how much God really loves you. When you look at what he has done to bring you into, to bring me into the body of Christ, the family of Christ, when you look at what he's given us, when you look at the grace that he has and continues to show us for all the ways we fall short, when you look at the inheritance that he's given us, he doesn't just cancel debt. He says, now I'm going to bring you into the house. I'm going to bring you into the household, to the family. You're going to be a part of this inheritance that was earned by Jesus Christ. God loves us in ways in which we literally need strength, supernatural strength to comprehend the breadth, the width, the height, the depth of it. And notice what he says there in, Paul says in verse 18, together with the saints. You and I will not be able to comprehend God's love for us without the help of other people. It is not instinctive and natural for us to really understand and know God's love for us. It will be warped and malformed in some way, shape, or form. We some of us have a bent towards God's love as, well, yeah, but I really think I've kind of outlasted that. Or he's probably uniquely frustrated with me of all the people in the body of Christ because I just keep struggling. I keep stumbling. I keep going back to this sin. And so I think God might be done with me. Some of us struggle in that direction. Others of us struggle with, yeah, God's, God, he, hey, God loves me. We all screw up. It's not a big deal, right? Let's just kind of keep rolling here. Not recognizing what the aim of God's love is, which is to grow and behold Christ through putting that sin to death. And so we will mess up naturally, instinctively, understanding God's love without the help of the saints. Again, it's not the only resource he gives us. He gives us the Spirit and his word. But we need each other. This morning, we need each other. The number of mornings that I come in on a Sunday morning and my heart is just off, and I know it's off. I can feel that it's off. It comes out off in my words, even as we're getting ready in the morning, sometimes in a hurried fashion. When I get to hear the voices of all the saints around me singing praise to Jesus Christ, my heart is transformed. The love of God becomes way clearer to me than before I came. We need each other. We need the body of Christ to comprehend increasingly God's love for us. All right, then lastly here, we want to look at how even our growth in holiness is to be a community project. Right? The growth in holiness that can actually more and more understand and know the love and the joy that God has for us, where we can put to death the deeds of the flesh to see sin for what it is. We need the help of the body of Christ. So last passage we'll look at before breaking up into small groups is in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14. So whoever gets there first, go ahead and read that out loud for us as we consider this idea that we are purified together as a family, not just individually. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and unworldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works.
So yeah, earlier in Titus 2, it speaks of this grace that has been made known to us, so that now, here's one of the ways in which this grace impacts our lives. And so when we look at Titus 2, 11 to 14, there is a way in which individually, right, Paul's speaking to Titus saying, hey, purify yourself, grow in godliness. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. But look there what it says in verse 14, to purify for himself what? A people, right? Eager to do what's good. He wants us as a people to help us grow. We are going to be purified in really seeing sin for what it is and hating sin with the help of others. We will not hate sin the way that we're supposed to hate sin without the help of other people. We will not be spurred on to love and good works, if you will, and be eager to do what's good without the help of other people in our lives. Even some of the names that were mentioned at the beginning of our time together, people who have helped us grow in Christ's likeness, God has used them either in their examples to spur us on or in the questions they've asked us in their pursuit of us. It's helped us to grow more and more to say, man, Lord, I do want to pursue Jesus. And anything that gets in the way of that, I want to put that to death. We need the help of the body of Christ, because the world will have answers for all of those questions about what do I do with my life? What is the meaning and purpose of my life? Where is true happiness and joy and comfort found? The ways of the world are going to be able to answer that and press in on us. We need the body of Christ to help us to say, no, that's not true. That is antichrist. That is the opposite voice of Christ. And so to be purified more and more to Christ's likeness, we need each other. Right, if we had time, we'd even look at 1 Corinthians 12, speaking of the family of believers as a physical body, right? The body of Christ. But notice even in 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says that these gifts are to be used for the common good. That's there in verse 7, right? And so we are to use our gifts to help us to grow up in a Christ-likeness for the common good. Whatever giftings, if you are in Christ, you have spiritual giftings that we need. Period. Whether you're the toenail or the nose or the ear, doesn't matter. It does not matter. Believe me, my whole body cares when my toenail gets ripped off. That was probably a hard visual. A lot of people are cringing right now. That might have been too graphic. Apologies there. But you get it, right? I want those toenails in place. We need each other. The giftings that God has given us, there's a wonderful illustration or I guess saying, you could, maybe it's a better way to say it, that I think it was Dave Sutton who first shared it. Maybe he got it from Deborah, I can't remember. But he talked about how every single one of us has different sized wallets when it comes to just relational energy to pour out. And he says, whatever that is, spend it. Whatever that is in your relational wallet, spend it. Grow in it. We need each other. You need me, I need you, right? There's times in which we need to grow in being okay, being with the Lord alone by ourselves. That's true. For some of us, that's a struggle. For others of us, we need to grow in just being together with other saints and just opening up our Bible and encouraging each other in the faith. Relationships are hard. I know that in this area they can be uniquely hard, but it's worth the fight. It really is worth the fight. It's worth the ongoing conversations. How can I grow more and more into this? Because as we have seen here, we will fight sin best in community. We will recognize God's love for us best in community. We will grow into Christ-likeness best in community. We need it. It's one of the good health metrics we can have in our lives. How are my relationships? And like I said, both in breadth and in depth, because some of us are better at one than the other. And so may the Lord help us to grow more and more. And might we ask God, pray to God regularly for good relationships. Help me to be pursuing others. Help others to pursue me. Help us to consider our lives and how we can make way and time for this, because we all need it. And again, it is spiritual warfare. Satan does not want it to happen. All right. I will pause here and let's do our small group time here. So I think the way it's listed on your handout is a little differently than I would want it listed. We'll change that next time. I think it's your, is it your Make It Real section that talks about, there's kind of a list of things that can make it hard for us to do relationships well? Is it in the Make It Real section? It's like busyness of life, being totally immersed. Where is that list? Is it question number two? Okay, on the front page. Yeah, so question number two on the front page and part of the back. It starts, does it start with how does your life reflect your commitment? Yeah. Let's discuss that over the next 10 minutes in our small group time. Again, groups of 2 to 4 would be wonderful. So discuss that together. Have some time reflecting on whether it's something on this list that stands out to you personally or if there's something not on the list. But I'd love for you to just spend some time reflecting on, okay, what are some of the obstacles that can get in the way if we know that we need community? What are some of the obstacles that can get in the way for me personally and us personally? So let's spend some time discussing that. After 10 minutes, we'll come back for some small group Q&A. Sound good? Or big group Q&A? All right. You are dismissed to break up and stay here. Great. All right, let's gather back around. Or just turn in your chairs, whatever most fitting there. Hopefully you guys had some good conversations. And again, you mentioned in this class, one of the reasons we have that small group is this to be a part of everyday body life at Delray Baptist Church. Just intentional conversations. Each other questions and having space to just really consider and share. It's helpful because it's hard to not slow down, or it's hard to slow down in our lives many times, and questions help us slow down. And so just having time to sit with somebody and ask each other intentional questions make it where we go, oh, I haven't thought about this in a while. What are some reasons, some obstacles for me personally that might get in the way of relationships? So we pray that that is the normal ongoing pattern, increasing for us at Delray. All right, so either this time is used to say, hey, either any lingering questions from the lesson itself on community or anything that stood out to you from the lesson that you wanted to highlight or from your small group time. Yes, Mr. Peltier.
So we discussed a number of things from different sort of perspectives, but I think the busyness of life one was obviously kind of stipulated at the beginning, and then we kind of moved into deeper.
It's just, sadly, it's just assumed, right? It really is, yeah.
And the struggle that it is. And then sort of thinking about the idea that formal commitment to sort of church events, church meetings, that was not always as useful.
Yeah.
It was helpful, but not useful for the deep relationship sort of building.
Right.
Even when there was time, and talking about how we've talked about sort of different fellowship groups have pivoted and changed the way that we've done things deliberately to focus on deeper relationships rather than maybe just commenting on the sermon or doing a lesson or doing a book reading or various things, because of recognizing that seems to be a gap. And different people need to be met at different places in that. So.
Amen. Yeah, I love that. Even the kind of the formal gatherings, if you will, even when we do a church pot, like those are good as connection points, but harder to go deeper in. And so could those be used as kind of a launch pad into, as you just mentioned, Eric, what happens at fellowship groups where, hey, how are we really doing? Creating the space for it. Because it really is countercultural to create that space. That busyness is assumed because we live in a hyper-connected time and place in history. That's just, that is our reality. So there's so much more for us to say no to. And so I love that, trying to create that intentional space in those groups. And I'll just mention a word here for those of us who really have desired the depth of relationships, but it hasn't been there yet. Again, don't give up. Keep asking the Lord to provide and put yourself in spaces like that. In fellowship groups would be one example so that that could happen. That's great. Yeah, any other reflections or any questions? Yes, Laura.
One of the kind of unifying things that stuck out to me from all the stuff we've done in this group is how easy it is to not be known.
Yeah.
You can attend church. You can attend every single event and yeah. come in. Out and nobody has a clue who you are. You can even be in a community group and fall into that the ease of sitting quietly and listening and not really actually being known. So it feels like a call to action in some of this. Like there is an element of needing to take a step to put, I mean, unfortunately, and there's many of us who don't want to do that, right? But putting ourselves out there and exposing ourselves intentionally so that we are known.
Amen. That's excellent. And because it really is in reflecting on this you know, relationships, depth of community, breadth of community, it's helpful to consider both the external challenges. Some of those things have been mentioned, right? Especially in this area. If you live in this area, it's going to be scheduling and time is going to be harder. Just even talking to a friend who was kind of raising support and they were doing it, you know, down in Texas, and they were asking people if they can get on their schedules 2 weeks out. And the people in this particular North Texas city were like, I don't know what I'm doing in 2 weeks. Let me know next week. And here, it's like, yes, in 4 weeks, I can get you on my calendar because I have my entire month planned out. 3 months, there you go. Now, again, some of that is truly, it's external. There is a reality of it's just, that's the nature of it. But then there are internal obstacles as well. And I think you just mentioned on that. Am I intentionally opening myself up, putting myself out there? For some of us, you've done that throughout your life and it's been met with trusted friendships. For others of us, we've done that and it's been really painful and hard. But regardless of what our journey is, that posture of, but I'm willing to, Lord, take this step of faith is huge. So internally, know what your withdrawals are or obstacles are, but then also be mindful that it is hard for external reasons, but possible. That's good. Anyone else, some reflections on small group time or the lesson itself? Lingering questions or things you want to highlight?
That scripture over certain people, but it hit me that it's probably a good one to pray over myself, to have that get out there, possibility in a new situation, not being accepted, but if you just pray that you have the power, and knowing that that command is established in the love and the power of being, whatever small group that would be.
Amen. Oh, that's wonderful. And I love how you said prayer, like it, praying these truths. I think it's a wonderful action step for all of us. Can we even take some time this week to pray these truths over people that we love, you know, in the body of Christ here, and then also ourselves? Lord, help this be increasingly true for me just in this next season, intentional prayer. Because again, it is, it's a supernatural, there's a spiritual warfare element to it as well, for sure. Yeah, that's great. Anyone else? Things to highlight, lingering questions. Yes, ma'am.
For me, just going through the list and just thinking about my own reticence sometimes to, extend hospitality to intentionally have that time and space for relationships. There's definitely a fear of man in there, just as I know, like, what? My house is a mess. And yes. I burn the food a percentage of the time. It could be a disaster. No, it's just easier to
not do it.
We'll do it later.
Yeah. I think it's a great, you know, because there's, whether it's opening up our homes or our apartments or our lives, I think there's that same principle there, right? That can often be true of us. It's got to look a certain way before we really let people see it. when, again, you know, with young kids, like we've got four young kids, we try to reset the home every morning. And, you know, it's like the home just explodes every morning. It's like everything gets put and everything is just loaded with gunpowder. And within 10 minutes, I'm like, I swear we cleaned this up just yesterday. I don't, what in the world happened? It's amazing how it explodes. And so to bring people in, my goodness, it would take us so long to clean that up versus like, hey, when you come in, there's Legos everywhere, guys. We really were working on this with our kiddos, but don't step on those. They're awful. And so are we willing to kind of let them in? And are we okay just like having PB&Js and hot dogs? Does it have to be a gourmet meal? But that's where it's good to even reflect on some of us, whether, you know, depending on our background, that's going to be harder to be okay with that. And others of us, you know, it's going to be a different kind of wrestle. But yeah, that willingness to allow each other and knowing that it's good. And this is really who I am. And we got to work through even those like mini judgments we might actually have in our own hearts if we walk into a messy home or the home seems chaotic. Can we extend grace to each other to know where people are at and want to understand why things are this messy, maybe in this chaotic, especially for those when I was, you know, by myself, a single man, I just didn't have much stuff. So everything was just always put away all the time. I literally at times would have seasons where I had a fork, a spoon, a plate, and it was easy to clean up. And so it's been quite a growing curve for me with four young kids now. We've got many things that end up on the floor and sometimes on the ceiling. Amen. That's a great reflection to know each other, know our bents in that. Yeah, anyone else? Maybe one or two more reflections or lingering questions. Yes, sir.
Just one thing, Dan, you and I have talked about this before. I think increasingly this sort of feeling of even when you theologically or even practically sort of think about the idea we live in community, very sure things, I think you kind of have that a little bit of a burden and feel pressure that I'm not doing enough to help other people to open my home in numerous sense. And I think sort of as I got older, just the concept of I'm learning how to embrace my limitations.
Amen.
And realize that God made Amen. Me in his image, but made me finite.
Amen.
And so there's only a limit, and that's why it's a body of believers. It's not we're responsible. We individually are responsible for everything. Right? And so the encouraging others, spurring one another on to do these things is, may not necessarily mean that we're the ones that gotta pursue that. We're the ones that gotta pressure things. And I think that's something that
so good.
Is increasingly healthy thing to think through. Yeah. Not obviously by yourself, but think through, because a lot of us do need to be pushed to do various things. But then there's also others that are gonna be the season of life where that's not gonna be where they need to be.
That's a wonderful reflection, because, and again, that's where helping others know our own hearts. Are we more bent towards where we just feel constantly exhausted and burdened for everybody? Because we feel the sense of loneliness. Where others of us need that push, some of us need to just really rest and pray that God would provide. It amazes me how Jesus Christ himself lived within his physical limitations. Amazes me. All the needs, all the hurts, all the, I'm sure, loneliness that existed, even in a communal culture like that one. And there were times when Jesus would withdraw and be by himself. Where's Jesus? They would ask. He had the 72, and then he had the 12, and then he had the 3. This is Jesus Christ himself showing some human limitations that, again, to your point, Eric, we have. My wife and I, in the wonderful blessing of getting to be a part of this kind of counseling ministry, is many of our conversations. In many of those conversations, loneliness will come up. And my wife and I have had to talk about this. We will feel burdened to want to then be that friend to every single person. It's like, can I be that friend? And it's so hard to go, oh, I can't be that friend for you, but can we talk about what it could look like for you to be? So in that same way, we've had to wrestle with those limitations. So it's helpful to recognize that as well. Know your bent. Maybe one more reflection. That's a great one. Oh, I like that.
If you don't spend it, it's going to shrink.
But if you spend it, it'll grow.
Yeah.
Oh, can I make that my own saying now if I combine two other people's saying the next time I share it?
Go for it.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
You just give me a saying that I can use from now on. No, in all seriousness, that's wonderful. Amen. It's, those of us who really spend it, we see that in our Christian life when we really put those things, God seems to expand that capacity and that ability. Oh, I like that. Spend it and God will continue to grow it. Ha! That seems biblical. We're going to go with it. Let me know if it's not, because I'm going to use it a lot. All right, let me pray for us, and we will break and get to gather together once again to worship with the community of Christ, because we need it. Amen? We need it. Lord, help us to recognize your love this morning even more so. Well, Father, we do thank you that you have brought us into your family. Your family, Father. These relationships in the body of Christ we've started here on earth get to last throughout all of eternity. So, Lord, help us to continue to grow and want to be known and know each other wisely within the limitations you have given us, Lord, to spend that wallet, as was just said, so that it may grow more and more, both in the breadth and the depth. Lord, help us to be friendly to everybody and to have depth of friendship with a few in your kindness and your mercies. Father, for the times that it's not there, help us to long for it and pray for it. Give us awareness, self-awareness, to know where am I more tempted when it comes to relationships, to either to hide or to overextend, and to recognize in humility the unique external factors we have in 21st century America, right here in Alexandria and Maryland and D.C. God, give us wisdom on what this looks like to be countercultural. I do believe that rich community in the body of Christ might be one of the greatest lights and witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the watching world. Lord, help us this day, this morning, to behold and recognize Christ and the love that you have for us in Christ more than when we woke up this morning because of our time together worshiping you during the main service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. We'll see you in a bit.